Hello. Do you know some of your seemingly unconscious or innocent behaviors that you do daily might be raising your blood pressure, therefore putting you at risk for a stroke? The more we can see health as a practice rather than as a problem to fix, the more we encourage the body's natural potential to be healthy. Also, do you know there's a difference between hypertension and high blood pressure? We'll be getting into all of this here today. You are listening to High Blood Pressure Wellness Lifestyle Podcast with Donna Williams. I am the creator of InfoOnHighBloodPressure.com, a website that supports complementary alternative treatments for high blood pressure and other chronic diseases that affects an extremely high number of my community. I work primarily with women of color and others that seek improved cardiovascular health, their energy level, weight management, and the balancing of their body's energies at the cellular level that slows the aging process. Let's get started on today's episode. Today's episode is about daily actions we engage in or do that might be putting us at risk for a stroke because these actions raises our blood pressure. And do you know there's a difference between hypertension and high blood pressure? I can hear most of you saying, there's a difference between hypertension and high blood pressure? Aren't they the same things? But they are not actually the same things. Hypertension is actually a disease of the blood vessels involving changes in their structure and functions that is associated with the constellation of other cardiovascular risk factors. While high blood pressure is a long-term medical condition in which blood pressure in the arteries is persistently elevated. Let's go a little deeper so we can both understand what I am saying. And don't worry, I'll be going through some of your daily habits that are raising your blood pressure and when, what you can do to not do raise it. But I need you to be aware of the differences between these two classifications. Hypertension is an entirely metabolic syndrome made up of a group of complex clusters of abnormalities, including problems with excessive blood clotting, abnormal glucose metabolism, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, dense LDL bladder, bad cholesterols, high triglycerides, and low HDL good cholesterols. Most obvious signs of hypertension is the accumulation of belly fat, known as apple obesity. All these conditions result in damages to the arteries and increased cardiovascular problems. There are two major classifications of hypertension, and they are essential, which is primary or genetic, and then there's the secondary. Herein lies the differences between hypertension and high blood pressure. Essential hypertension, also known as primary or genetic hypertension, develops slowly and quietly. That is the silent killer. Secondary hypertension is directly linked to another disease or condition that include obesity, thyroid, kidney disease, kidney artery blockage, tumors, the side effects of certain medications and others. This type of hypertension increases either the resistance of blood vessels or the amount of blood being pushed through your system, resulting in high blood pressure. I know I went through a lot right there. That was a mouthful, right? But I wanted to get that out to you for you to understand the differences between hypertension and high blood pressure before we delve deep into today's episode. So bear with me. That's why I want to say again, the more we see health as a practice rather than as a problem to be fixed, the more we encourage the body's natural potential to be healthy. Because both these health conditions of hypertension and high blood pressure can be affected by our seemingly unconscious daily actions or activities or even behaviors that would move the hypertension stage to a high blood pressure situation. The first thing that comes to mind, which was a surprise to me, is holding a full bladder. When we forcibly hold our urine, you know, we hold it because we want to get to a certain point or there's not a bathroom available, it raises our blood pressure about 10 to 15 points. I further learned that this Dr. Luke Laffin, he is the core director of the Center for Blood Pressure Disorders at the Cleveland Clinic, said, getting up frequently at night to relieve ourselves may be a sign that our blood pressure is elevated. And it's our body's way of saying to us and to you, I need to lower my blood pressure. So there is some truth in what our parents and grandparents always say to us. Go pee before we leave the house. And I said it to my daughter when I was growing her up, and also my grandkids. Before we leave the house, I always say, let's use the bathroom before we leave. And it's also a reminder for me too, not only them. Another innocent behavior is not including fruits and vegetables into our daily diet. If you pass on eating a diet rich in fruits and vegetables, you are missing out on the potassium that we get from these fruits, which acts like a catalyst for hypertension. It helps in the controlling of our high blood pressure and hypertension. It helps to counter the effects of having too much sodium in our system. Then there is you having an erratic bedtime schedule. Young mothers, I know they all have erratic bedtime schedule. If you have an erratic bedtime schedule and not getting 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep, you can experience elevated blood pressure. Several of them, have verified this fact, that if you having sleepless night raises your blood pressure, and if you're snoring or gasping for air in the night and are exceptionally tired during the day, you need to get checked for sleep apnea. You can lower your blood pressure 3 to 4 points, and that's a lot. Even 1 point is a lot because it takes the pressure off your organs and your joints. But with proper sleep or the proper amount of sleep, 3 to 4 points can be relieved when you make sleep one of your priorities. Another everyday issue or behavior is you having ongoing pain issues. If you have a constant pain for over a period of time, it can cause chronically elevated blood pressure, especially if you have pain for more than a couple of weeks. So I'm encouraging you, I'm suggesting, go see a physician, and treat that pain or its underlying cause. And then there's a good chance your blood pressure elevation will go away. Finally, I want to leave this interesting, amazing, and very surprising fact with you, because it was to me. If you relax and have a drink or two daily, and most people just say, oh, I need a glass of wine before I relax, or a beer, whatever it is. It adds up, 7 to 13 drinks per week, and we don't even realize it because we're just having one drink. That amount of alcohol substantially raises your risk for high blood pressure. 53% of moderate drinkers likely had stage 1 hypertension and were twice as likely to have stage 2 hypertension than individual who didn't drink. Those are amazing facts. So please do check in with yourself and see if any of these innocent behaviors sounds like you. This is not a judgment call, because we are all guilty of having a drink or doing all of these behaviors. So that your health issues doesn't raise to either hypertension or high blood pressure. Now, if I can get you to focus more on healthy foods, we all will be better in terms of our healthcare situation. That's why I'm going to encourage you to strike a balance with high blood pressure, and let us take a look at our calorie intake. And not only to lose weight, but its effect on our bodies. Eating too few calories can actually have the same effect on your body as overeating. I'm going to repeat this. Eating too few calories can actually have the same effect on your body as overeating. When you consume too few calories throughout the day, your body may believe it is starving and begin storing fat. Consuming too few calories can also lead to overeating in the evenings, as your body tries to compensate for what it didn't get during the day. When restricting too much, the body won't have the calories it needs to perform its most essential functions, which include keeping us healthy. If the scale isn't moving, instead of cutting back on calories, because that is what everyone do, we cut back more and starve ourselves to lose a pound or two, try checking to see if there is a vitamin or mineral you are deficient in, and begin to bridge the gap. And make sure you're eating to burn fat. Choose nutrient-dense calories, and always, always eat plenty of protein and fiber. This type of eating also helps suppress hunger signals while keeping you full for extended periods. Eating a balanced diet is the best way to ensure you get the nutrients you need without overeating or undereating. It took me years to change my diet, or let's say find a nutrition plan that works in my favor. Because you usually start out with one objective in mind. And with time, that process changes your body's makeup. After all, your brain chemistry changes with what you eat and how your body is recovering and changing from one health issue to another, and the balancing of the hormones and everything, it changes. So you might discover you have a tendency toward insulin resistant from the types of food you have been eating, or you're having to cut back on your beloved bread, pasta, and rice. And rice is a Caribbean mainstay. Can you imagine a Caribbean household or not having rice on the table? Let me digress for a minute here. I remember one Thanksgiving traveling to visit my husband's nephew. He was a Marine at the time, and he and his family were living in another state, and we were staying with them for Thanksgiving weekend. His wife is not from the Caribbean. So can you imagine sitting down to dinner and no rice on the table for a Caribbean family? Wow. In my mind, and I'm sure I was not the only one that was thinking this, oh my gosh, we are going to be hungry this weekend. Where's the nearest restaurant? But no. There were tons of vegetables and other filling foods on the table, along with deep fried turkey. That was the first time we were tasting and enjoying deep fried turkey. My husband, daughter, and I were never hungry the whole weekend. From that weekend, and that was over 30 years ago, I experienced an opening of my mind towards food. I don't have a problem not sticking with what I'm familiar with anymore. No, I'll go anywhere. And no, there'll be something to try or something I might discover, something new in someone else's culture that I'd love and enjoy. So, if you're eating brown rice and vegetables out of guilt or anything other than enjoyment, chances are it won't be beneficial to you. And you might say, how come? Because digestion, absorption, and assimilation of our food is dependent upon our state of consciousness. I just want to emphasize and for you to understand that your consciousness around food can change that food's effect on your body. For me, the pleasure of cooking certain meals and seeing it being enjoyed by all, or like being out with family and friends at a restaurant and being served, almost always outweighed the damage of desserts. The thought of being served, because compared to when I'm always doing the cooking, but we go out for a relaxing dinner or lunch, whatever the occasion, and being served is so different and so enjoyable. Why should I deprive myself of dessert? No, that's not the time. In essence, when we value life more than ever, especially after going through the pandemic and losing so many of our loved ones, eating well is a way of valuing and nourishing ourselves. But like anything else, we get used to it. We're used to what we normally eat. And so you might not, as well as you might not notice what is no longer on your table, what not on your meal, because your taste bud has changed. You don't even crave it because of the changes within your body. You start to enjoy other types of foods that meets your needs and have your health thriving. Let's keep food in perspective. I want you to become your own authority about what works best for you and what doesn't. You have to know or discover your body's unique nutritional needs. In the process of finding my own dietary truth and helping others do the same through my online programs, I had to change some of my views and recommendations that this process continues even through to today. Because with my online programs, I'm dealing with different individuals from different cultures and different taste buds. So one size doesn't fit all. There are thousands of scientific papers on nutrition and health, and there's no dietary truth that is the answer for everyone. Again, one size doesn't fit all. Keep yourself on track and consider joining a support group that is dealing with food, fat, and emotions, like Overcome High Blood Pressure online program. That is my program. That have you living stronger and healthier by design, with you eating well to live well. That is my main mantra. Meditating, doing spiritual work, affirmations, and so much more. It is not a diet plan. It's about you becoming a skillful eater. The link to that online program is within the download of today's episode. Remember, the vast majority of women have issues around food. So you're not alone in this journey. I am Donna Williams, your wellness lifestyle guide, signing off today. Remember to tell your family and friends about High Blood Pressure Wellness Lifestyle Podcast with Donna Williams. And schedule a 30-minute consultation with me. I would love to continue this conversation with you. So, bye for now.